So it looks like Austin is recording this possibly for a future...
For a possible potential podcast if it's an interesting enough conversation. So please ask really interesting questions. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 218, City of Champions. If we perform in a city for more than one night, we often conduct workshops with students and non-students too, actually, and we occasionally do audience talkbacks where we meet groups of audience members immediately after the performance to talk about the show. When we were in Pittsburgh last month, we talked to a group of students from the University of Pittsburgh. We had just finished performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged, and in that show we wear local sports jerseys, so I was asked about the particular hockey jersey that I was wearing. Why the Goligoski jersey? Excellent question.
Because that's the one the Penguins gave us.
Yes. It's even autographed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said to me last night out in the lobby, he said, "Oh, you had me at Goligoski."
Yes, you know, as well as we admit, we will happily pander to every audience.
Yeah.
He said any jersey except Roethlisberger. Too controversial.
Right.
Yes. And too much of a dick.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll cut that from the podcast.
No. To say Roethlisberger.
Yeah, yeah. It's a family podcast. Don't say Roethlisberger. Did you have your hand up? When you? Yeah.
But then we discovered that even though the Pittsburgh Steelers did not win this year's Super Bowl, we were still there in the presence of champions.
I'm actually on our school's Quidditch team.
You are? Yay. Wait, your school has a Quidditch team?
Yeah.
Pitt has a Quidditch team?
Yeah, Pitt has a Quidditch team. We're third in the world right now, actually.
Whoa! Back up! The Pitt Quidditch team is third in the world now?
Yeah, we went to the World Cup in New York City in November, and we're ranked third.
That's awesome. What position do you play?
I'm a beater.
The beater?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the really tough one. You're knocking people off their brooms, right?
Oh, we had a guy start crying. One game from us, yeah.
Crying? There's no crying in Quidditch!
Yeah, you get those guys out of Quidditch.
My question is, have you ever seen a game of Quidditch played live before?
No, we never have.
No,
I would love to.
Is that an invite? Can we come see?
We played in the snow last year after that big snowpocalypse. We went out in sweats and gloves and...
Wow.
6 inches of snow.
Pitt Quidditch is hardcore.
Yeah, no, it's really hardcore.
That's awesome. And they're probably doing better than the football team. They are doing better than the football team.
We don't have any controversies, at least with our team.
That's right. Yeah, your coach isn't beating on anyone?
No.
All right, that's good. Oh, that's cool. I think that's just so dorky and nerdy that you would have a Quidditch team that there is a Quidditch team.
Yeah, people there's a world ranking.
And there's a world ranking. Third in the world.
Yeah.
What about the Bavarians, the Hungarians, the, you know?
Some Canadians, at least. I mean,
Canadians?
Do they count? I don't know.
That's America, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. America
light. Wow, that's so dorky and nerdy that it actually transcends dorkiness and becomes awesome and cool.
Right. Anybody else have anything as interesting in that? All right, then goodbye. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I was just wondering, you guys have done so many different shows, you know, you've done sports, you've done the Bible, you said you guys have done so much. How do you begin piecing together, like, a rapid-fire show like this with, like, just so many topics?
How do you begin piecing together a rapid-fire? Well, it's actually kind of literally that. It's piecing together. I mean, you know, Reed and I are the writers of the show and the owners of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and we get an idea for a show, an idea that that we think that people will be interested in, and also that we're interested enough in spending several years of our lives on. And we just... Once we settle on a topic, then we just start coming up with ideas. Well, what if this? What if that? You know,
it's sketch comedy with a theme, and so we try to think of kind of an overall structure for the sports. It's like a sporting event, so four quarters, halftime. For the book show, it's a remedial literature course, so some sort of conceit that holds the whole thing together. And then it's really we just come up with ideas for sketches, and we write them out, and we read them, and we decide if we think it has potential. Do we keep working on it, or sometimes we'll read, as often as not, we'll read it through and go, nah, I don't think there's anything here. Or maybe there's one joke in a whole sketch that stays. So we go through, this show we went through about five or six drafts over most of a year, and then we put it together, we start to rehearse it, it changes when it goes from page to up on our feet, and then the audience helps us write it too, because they'll laugh or they won't, and so if it's not, I mean, it's very clear whether it's funny or not after a couple of shows, if nobody's laughing, Yes, it's proven. It's not funny.
Yeah.
And it is just like you said. It is piecing it together. Because, like, for instance, when we premiered it in Lowell at Merrimack Repertory Theater, sometimes those pieces would come back to the dressing room, and you guys would say, well, that piece is going to actually scoot ahead two scenes, and we're going to shift that to the end and then cut that one in half. I mean, it was a case of shifting the pieces.
Well, and sometimes it's only, you know, you write something down and you think, and it's funny in your head, and you read it out loud, and you go, oh, it's not funny. You know, we decided that. I mean, I remember the line, Babe Ruth has tested positive for beer and hookers, is the one funny line in a three-page sketch that we just punted on because there was only one funny line. What are you going to do? I hate that. Yeah.
How much research?
Oh, tons of research.
Well, actually, usually too much, I would
say. Yeah, it's too much because we have to, it also depends on the topic. I remember American history doing lots and lots of research, but it's too much because we travel all over the world. So in a way, we want to be making comedy about things that people already know. So the example I use is, it's hard to write a sketch about the Gadsden Purchase because what is that? So we do too much research, and then we end up saying, okay, well, what are the things we need to cover in American history? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, the wars, Prohibition.
Lucille Ball,
of course. Needless to say. Yeah.
Well, and also you want to sort of play on people's, you want to satisfy people's expectations, and the challenge for us is to always write a funny show that will feel like a Renew Shakespeare Company show to the audience, but it won't be so similar to other shows that people will say, oh, I've seen it, all right, we'll get on with it.
And then the other tricky thing is you want to meet people's expectations, cover what it would seem to them you need to cover, but also be able to surprise them.
Yeah.
And so that's a trick.
One of my favorite laughs in this show is when they finally realize that I haven't fainted because I'm sick. I fainted because baseball is boring, you know. And I can hear, just lying there, I can hear the audience get it and then go, oh God, I'm with him. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There was a woman today, like up there, going, yeah, I hate baseball.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, she really got this.
It's because you live in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, there was a woman out there who said we missed another obvious joke when Somalia.
One.
Apparently, we missed more than just the one. But when Somalia comes out, you know, Somalia, the only kind of pirates who can win.
Oh.
Well, then that begs the question, how many times can you diss the pirates in Pittsburgh before they turn on you?
I don't know. Really. Three shots, I don't know. Right here.
Why hate on cricket?
Why hate on cricket?
Oh, man.
Do you play?
Seen it?
Do you play cricket?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. All right, good.
Explain
it to me. You went to one?
I went to a match at the Oval in London.
Yeah.
But I'm a baseball guy. But, you know, so, I mean.
Yeah, but cricket makes baseball look like basketball.
Because it can go for like 3 or 5 days and then end in a tie, right?
Yeah, I think of it as an endurance game, you know? a real gentleman's game, you know?
Well, you know, you're right. It is a gentleman's game. And best played on nice green lawns in the English countryside. And the best thing about cricket is tea and biscuits.
And as it's a gentleman's game, we are clearly not gentlemen.
Yeah, right. So that's why we're hating on cricket. Yeah, I think that's the answer to that. Yeah. Did I miss who are you guys? Are you theater students or just
students?
Just students. Just a random group of students.
Arts program.
Oh, well, they play Quidditch. They play Quidditch and cricket. All right. And art and do arts things. I'm sorry. Somebody had their hand up. Was it you? Yeah.
How much do you let each show like go towards improvisational, because I definitely noticed there was some.
How much, do we improvise? We don't improvise as much as you think we do.
Okay.
There are certainly moments where you deal with whatever's happening. In fact, we had a scripted improv bit in the show that we didn't do today because you guys got the joke.
There's the joke that often not very many people laugh, and then we stop and make jokes about how people miss the joke.
But then the trick is that is a scripted improv bit, but it only became scripted after it actually happened for real one night early in the run, and we went, that's kind of funny, and decided to try to recreate that, you know, impromptu magic.
To think, was there anything that has never been done before this afternoon?
I don't think so.
But we sort of script it to make it look like parts of it are improvised, and also...
Yeah. We got you.
But sometimes there is some improv. I mean, we never know exactly what the people are going to do, but we've done it enough. We know pretty much what they're going to do with them on stage.
The moment where I am Scoop Titchener, and then I introduce Matt, and then he steps into the doorway, and then I step into the doorway with him and kind of mess with him. That was improvised a couple nights ago, and now we just do it to make it look like I'm messing with him every time.
Yeah, and the microphone bit was just one night was for real because it just wasn't working. So we decided to keep
it. I'm actually not sure they heard groin today.
No, they didn't.
They didn't hear groin injury.
I should be louder with my groin.
Yes. You need a louder groin. Who doesn't? Did you have your hand up?
Oh, well, yeah, I was going to ask about the microphone bit.
That
was really funny. Yeah. I thought that was a mistake.
So. Well, and that's the challenge for every actor is that you got to make it look like it's happening right there on stage for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And it's even more tricky for us. We got to look like we're making the joke up. And we've seen other companies, not of us, but other theater groups do improvised bits, and they're laughing hysterically. Oh my God! And it's just so phony and fake, you know. Because usually when we go up, when somebody starts to improvise, we just kind of go, "Here he goes." It's just right in your eyes, you know. It's just blown in the eyes. I sound like a grand actor.
Sometimes we have audience. My parents were here on Thursday, and there was some guy that didn't have socks on or something.
Yeah.
Who doesn't wear socks when it's like 12 degrees outside? Yeah. Like, that was, my parents said that he got, you guys ripped on him the whole night.
He was the gift that kept on giving.
Yeah.
And he was sitting right there, so everybody could see that he didn't have any socks.
So you had to go there.
You had to.
What was it you first said? Something about he must have laughed his socks off or something?
It was with the line at the beginning. From then till now, he went, ah! And I went, I scared your socks off.
Yeah, a lot of times improv is just telling the truth. You know, what's actually happening and just call it.
Yeah.
The other night I said 2010 Olympic Games. Brain fart. And a woman right over here said, 2011. And so I went, thank you, ma'am. Everybody laughed and I went, yeah. You know, it's just telling the truth, you know,
right?
Without being a total dick. Without being a complete Roethlisberger.
This is Ann Biberman, Executive Director of the Fairbanks Concert Association, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSE? This weekend, you can see us in Newark, New Jersey, and in 2 weeks, we begin our six-week tour of Belgium and Holland with the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised. We'll be performing in 28 different cities in those 2 weeks. 28 cities, my goodness. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And now back to our talkback chat with students from the University of Pittsburgh and an audio tour of the unique dimensions of the Pittsburgh Public Theater stage.
You guys move so fast. How's behind the scenes? How does
that work? Ooh, that's where the real show is.
Yeah, really.
We've always thought that on one of our DVDs, we should release a DVD extra, which is the show from behind, because it's chaos and madness back there. No, I mean, it's really a well-oiled machine.
It's a well-oiled...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well-oiled chaos madness.
Great help from... We've got Mark and Carrie Lee back there who save us and throw things on us and rip stuff off of us.
And this is an interesting space, because we don't often play on a thrust stage where their audience is literally on three sides. Usually it's just they're all out in front and maybe they curve around like this mezzanine does about to there. But that's usually what it is. So it's unusual that we have to run this far up to the drop.
That's a heck of a difference.
Usually we're sort of here to the drop, you know, so it's a lot more running here. And then also usually we have three tables in the back with all of our props laid out, and they're usually sort of right here. But now they are an extra 8 feet back there. It's way too much running in this theater. That's my point.
Yes, we might walk off. You'll see us exiting kind of like this, and then we hit the door and go, into the doorway.
Right.
Thanks, Austin.
Lights up, yes. Very smooth, very smooth. Down here.
It makes you go faster.
When you guys have a new show, do you usually only perform that show for months or years?
That's a good question. When we have a new show, do we only perform that one show for a while? Yeah, usually. In this case, actually, as it happened, the scheduling worked out. We premiered this show this fall in September at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. And just after we finished there in October, three other of our Radio Shakespeare Company guys went to, and two of our crew people, went to Hong Kong and Singapore for 2 weeks each in those cities, and they took three shows with them. They took America, Bible, and Hollywood. So this fall we had four shows, two companies and four shows out.
But so in the U.S. we were basically only doing this show. We had one night of our Shakespeare show somewhere. But yeah, and when we make a new show, there's lots of places where we've been to over and over again, like Pittsburgh. So a lot of venues who've had us before want the new thing. So it's hard to keep all the shows up and rehearsed, and it's also the logistics of having many shows out gets complicated. So we prefer to have one or two out at a time.
Right. One more question, because we have to get ready to do this again tonight.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
What is your favorite show that you do?
What
the
is
Odd
the
Couple?
Yeah. What is the favorite show that we do?
Do you know, it's almost always been, my answer has almost always been the one that I'm doing at the time.
Yeah.
When I was doing the Shakespeare for the first time, my favorite show. And then I learned the America show, and that was my favorite show. Learned the Bible, and that was my, and now I'm in the sports, and that's my favorite show.
So. That's kind of my answer. I don't really have favorite shows. I have favorite jokes or favorite moments. Hmm. And there's a lot of new favorite moments in this show. Of one favorite joke in the Hollywood show. You know, just like little moments that just really work.
Yeah, it's like parents. Who's your favorite kid? Well, there is one, but you say you like them all for different reasons.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Quidditch position via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, chaser Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Max Dowling. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ann Biberman from the Fairbanks Concert Association in Alaska, and to Becky Ricard from the Pittsburgh Public Theater for setting up the great talkback. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 218-654th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Well, thanks, guys. And
you're welcome.
If we have a new show next year, you can come back and do this again.
We wouldn't say no.
That would be great. We'll try.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks. I think that's interesting enough to be a podcast.
I think so.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.